In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, come, Holy Spirit. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, come, Holy Spirit. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Mary, Queen of the Divine Will, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we will continue with our reading from the Book of Adam. I think we are in number 92.
Entry number 92, February 11th, 1930, volume 27. My little daughter of my will, the creature cannot live either soul or body without my divine will. And since it is her first act of life, she finds herself in the condition either of receiving its act of continuous life from it, or of not being able to have existence. And since man was created because he was to live in the opulence of the goods of this divine will, his beloved inheritance, he was thus created because he had to live of us and in our house, like a son who lives with his father. Otherwise, how could he be our amusement, our joy and happiness, if he were not to live close to us, together with us in our divine will? A son who is far away cannot form the joy of his father, his smile, his amusement, his intimate conversation. From afar, they cannot play together or smile with happiness. On the contrary, the mere distance breaks the love and brings the bitterness of not being able to enjoy the beloved. See then, man was created to live in intimacy with us, in our house, in our own will, for us to secure our joys and his, and perennial happiness. But man, our son, though he was very happy in the house of his father, rebelled and went out of his paternal house. And by doing his will, he lost the smile of his father, his pure joy. And since he could not live without the concourse of our divine will, we acted as father and gave him the legal share of our divine will. No longer as life, which carried him on its lap to render him happy and holy, but as concurring to preserve him alive, not to make him happy as before, but to give him the things of strict necessity and according to how he would behave. Without my divine will, there cannot be life. This is why so little is known about my divine fiat, because it is its mere legal share that creatures know. And many times this legal share is not even recognized completely, because one who lives of the legal share does not live in the house of his father. He is far away from him. And many times he finds himself in the condition of spoiling with unworthy acts the very legal share he received. Therefore, do not be surprised if little is known about my divine will, if one does not live in it, if one is not in continuous contact to receive its life that makes one holy, that sanctifies, and that just by being close to it, its secrets are open, making itself known, letting you know it can give and how it yearns to keep the creature on its lap, to form in her its divine life. More so, since by doing his will, the man placed himself in the condition of a servant, not of an heir. And a servant has no right to the inheritance of his master, but to the miserable compensation for him to live with hardship. Therefore, my daughter, it can be said that with you I have opened the doors to let you enter to live in our house, in our divine will. And by keeping you with us, we have manifested to you so much about our divine volition, not as a legal share, but as our fortunate heiress. After this, he added, my daughter, more so, since in that little which has been written of my divine will in the whole history of the world, having known only the legal share, it has been written about what had been known of my fiat after the fault, but its relationship with creatures, even though they offend it and do not live in our house. On the contrary, about the relations that passed between my fiat and Adam innocent before sinning, they have written nothing. And how could they have written if no one had lived in my divine will as in one's own house? How could they know its secrets and the great prodigy that the operating life of a divine will can do in the creature? Therefore, they could and can say of my divine fiat that it disposes everything, that it commands, that it concurs. But as for saying of my divine will how it operates within itself, in its house, the power of its immensity, that in one instant does everything, envelops everything, in the creature as it does within itself. This is science that the creature has ignored until now. It could not have been written, if not by the manifestation of my divine fiat, to she whom he was calling to live in our house as our daughter, close to us, inside my will, not far away, and thus being able to amuse ourselves with her, we would make her aware of our most intimate secrets. And if we had wanted to manifest to her what regards our will and relationship with the creature, and she were not living in it, she would not have understood us. It would have been for her like a foreign and unintelligible dialect. Amen, fiat.
Thank you, Linda.
You're welcome.
Okay, this is a very long passage, but before we go into the passage of what our Lord says to Luisa, I want to go to the catechism to have some reference and then to try to understand this. In the catechism in number 400, the church talks about this harmony that was lost with the fall of Adam. This is what the church said or says about this harmony. It says, the harmony in which they had found themselves, thanks to original justice, is now destroyed. The control of the soul's spiritual faculties over the body is shattered. The union of man and woman become subject to tension. The relations henceforth marked by lust and domination. This harmony with creation is broken, and the visible creation has become alien and hostile to man. He's talking about the fall, and actually it begins in 397, that section of the fall of Adam, the consequences of Adam's sin for all the human race. So all that section, you can see how the church has been talking about this, but not as clear as we find this in the book of heaven, and how specifically the Lord talks about Adam in these sections. Then in the Catechism in 343, this is what the church says. It talks about the hierarchy of creatures. It says that this hierarchy is expressed by the order of the 6 days from the least perfect to the more perfect. God loves all creatures and takes care of each one of them. And this comes from the psalm, even the sparrow. Nevertheless, Jesus said, "You are of more value than many sparrows." So man is basically the crown. Sorry, that was 342. And then this is what the church says in 343. Man is the summit of the Creator's work. So God loves all his creation, but man is the masterpiece. And what makes him different than the rest is that he possesses this freedom. And the union of God's will operating in him. So able to multiply. You know, in the book of Genesis, it says, be fruitful and multiply. They were able to multiply that life that God was sharing with them, to double and redouble and redouble and redouble. So it was being multiplied at every moment, with every single act, with every movement, and at once multiple times, because if you stop and think, the body operates multiple functions and times at once. At the same time, you breathe, you hear, you are blinking the eye and everything, your heart palpitates. So at once you are doing multiple acts, multiple actions. So this is how Adam was operating with this gift, because he is the masterpiece, is the summit of the Creator's work, is the masterpiece of God. And we see in this passage that our Lord Jesus explains to Luisa that after he departed from this union in which he was created, then he lost all this gift and the gift that he was supposed to give to his children, that is the rest of the humanity. But the church expresses this idea in a very simple way too in the catechism, in number 49. This is what the church says. It says, without the creator, the creature vanishes. Without the creator, without this union, the creature vanishes. And we see through the book of Adam how the Lord explains here that in the beginning, how this union was operating in him. And even the catechism says that the soul have control over the senses of the body before the fall, this harmony in men. And I think it's also in 376 that the church talks about this harmony. So we know that all the dimensions of man, of Adam, they were affected by the fall, because when he was created in this union, everything was perfect in harmony, everything. So now we see the opposite. And in this passage, this is what our Lord explains to Luisa, how in the beginning he was able to receive from Adam by virtue of this union that he possessed. And he only had to basically remain in that union so that every moment he was multiplying this divine life that he was receiving, that God was receiving also from Adam. God initiates that sharing, the sharing of his life. So it's a divine life because God is divine. So giving to his creatures, his son a little bit, and the creature growing and growing at every moment, expanding his capacity to receive, and in that multiplying that life that God was giving to him at every moment. So when our Lord Jesus says that this existence is necessary, the divine will is necessary to exist, we know that, as Saint Paul says, in God we live, move, and have our existence. Everybody, everything is by the will of God, lives by the will of God. And here in this divine science, as our Lord Jesus calls it, here is not only the goal is not only to live in the divine will, to do his will, to fulfill the Ten Commandments. Here it is to arrive to the possession of his will operating in us. When he mentions that legal sharing, we can say that by fulfilling the Ten Commandments, we fulfill that. But God wants us to have his will operating in us at every moment, so to arrive at the possession. And this is what the Blessed Mother also mentions in her lessons when she talks about Adam, that he only had to remain in that union in which he was placed, but he chose to depart from that union. So before the fall, he live in the opulence of this divine kingdom, of the divine goods, the divine will. And this was his inheritance, to possess everything. And you know that God is inexhaustible, it's infinite. So the divine will can never be exhausted. The creatures, as long as we remain in this union, we can always grow in the capacity to receive and to receive and to receive, allowing God to give more of himself, to give, to keep this sharing with the creatures, so that the life of God can be imitated outside, an extra, what our Lord calls it, that extra, what happens among the three persons of the Blessed Trinity. God wanted to replicate that life outside of himself, now with the creatures. God giving and the creature receiving and giving back and expanding more and loving. So God giving a share of his divine life, which we can say God giving, filling the creature with his son attributes as much as the creature was able to receive at every moment, always in that position of giving and receiving that relationship that God wanted to give. So indeed, it was the inheritance, and it is our inheritance. This is what we pray in our fathers, that his kingdom may come, that his will may be done in each one of us, as it is done in heaven. In heaven, the saints, they don't possess freedom anymore. They don't have a free will anymore. They are fixed in the will of God. So they are forever receiving that divine life, but they are not able to multiply it anymore. They are not able to multiply it, this. They are not able to expand that capacity. This is what the Catechism says in 2860 about this petition to our Father. In the third petition, we ask our Father to unite our will to that of his Son so as to fulfill his plan of salvation in the life of the world. So the church knows about this already, that we have to unite ourselves to the will of God, and that Jesus is our link to the Father. And now through these writings, it is explained to us in more detail. Why is it so important for our Lord Jesus to give this teaching to Luisa Picaretta so that we can receive it? Because immediately after the fall, this is what God had in mind, that the creature put a pause in that divine sharing and participation. Basically, the creature rejected that divine inheritance, and God didn't change his mind. He immediately had the plan to restore and to give back this inheritance that belongs to all of us. I think in one of the letters of Luisa Picaretta, she calls it our divine right. Because this is how the creature was supposed to operate. We are the masterpiece of God. All creation, as the Catechism says, reflects something about God and the majesty of God. I think it's 343 that we were reading, that all creation reflects something of God, but man is the only one. Man is the summit of God's work. And everything reflects, it says, the order, the perfection, and everything God created, beginning from the less perfect to the more perfect. And that God loves all the creatures, but not all creatures have free will. We are only the only ones who have that gift. That's why he calls it our divine inheritance. So right after the fall, this is what he had in mind, to restore us, to give us this gift back to all of us. So now that this gift is being, that this harmony that was broken, now is being restored through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus. And that every time that we go to Mass, that sacrifice is being again reacted in an unbloody way. But you see, the word Eucharist comes from the Greek, and it's a thanksgiving, an act of thanksgiving. And what does the creature has to do? It has to give thanks to God, to give back to God. So what we do, we unite ourselves with Jesus at every Mass, that he's offering himself to the Father. And in him, he's offering all of us. So when we unite ourselves during the Mass with Jesus, we unite our will to his will, we become an offering to God too. We become an oblation, but in union with Jesus, because our Lord Jesus is the link. That's why the Catechism mentions that in 2860, that we ask the Father to unite ourselves to the will of his Son, because that's and the will, the divine will operating in the humanity of our Lord Jesus. So without that union, we vanish. Now that this harmony is being restored in the person of Jesus, now through this doctrine, through this divine science, as our Lord just calls it, that is given to us to the servant of God, Luisa Picarreta, now we are called to begin our journey, knowing what we lost, with the help that our Lord Jesus gave us in the sacraments in the church. Because every sacrament is a participation of the divine life. We receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist. We receive divine grace in the sacraments. So all of this is only a preparation for us to arrive to the possession of the will of God operating in us. And only in that way we will be configured into the person of Jesus. Only with the divine will operating in us, we will be able to say that we are one of those many brothers and sisters that have configured themselves to Christ. That's Catechism 381. Now we are called to be one of the many. But without this union, what our Lord tells us, without this union operating in us, everything is legalistic. Because we owe to God this adoration, glory, thanksgiving. But without having His will operating in us, it's not sufficient. It's the love of a slave, we can say. It's a master relationship. But He wants to give us this divine will so that we may learn to love as the Blessed Trinity loves, to love our Father with His divine love, with His Son love. Then He will be satisfied. Then the creature will be able to receive that divine inheritance that we lost. Then we will be perfected. And every time, with every single act, we will be growing in more and more into the likeness of God. So here, if you are able to see in a general way that everything has been a preparation for the divine will to return to live in the creature. So the creature, this is using the language of Luisa Picarreta, the creature, the soul is the divine palace of God. The soul is the divine palace of God. We are supposed to be that because remember, all creatures, something is happening here. Let me see. Okay. You may have to rearrange, Barbara, because he was saying that it was recorded in Arabic, so it translated in Arabic, so I don't know. Something like that. So I hope it comes out well. So anyway, I wasn't speaking in Arabic, so I again using the language that Luisa uses in her letters, we, the creatures, We are supposed to be the palace of the Divine Trinity. This goes together with 358. And we were created for God. And only if we possess this divine will operating in us, God will be able to receive perfect love, perfect honor and adoration from us creatures. We are the only ones who are able to multiply this divine participation that he gives us. So he gives us a little tiny bit, as much as we creatures are able to contain. And then the more we do, the more our soul expands and our capacity expands to receive. And then our capacity expands also to give to God. So it's a giving and receiving. So imitating the life of the Blessed Trinity, what the Blessed Trinity, the life of the Blessed Trinity, we become then basically mirrors of the Divine Trinity. That's what we are supposed to be. But it's only with this gift operating in us. And again, is the divine inheritance. This is what God forever planned the creature to possess. So immediately again after the fall, this is what he had in mind. How to restore this gift in the creature. And then we see the history of salvation, that everything is pointing towards this moment. And Jesus, even Jesus, our Lord Jesus, points us to this moment when he prays and he leaves us the Our Father as a way to pray. Praying now for the gift to descend again in the creature, to reign on earth as he reigns in heaven. So everything has been a preparation. So the sacraments, they are a preparation for us to arrive to the possession of the will of God operating in us. And throughout the history of the church, we can see that many saints, they have arrived to an understanding of the divine will to a certain point, but not really in the way as clear as our Lord Jesus gives this to Luisa Picaretta, these writings, because it's a process. The church tells us also that this revelation that God is giving to all of us is not complete, needs to be explained. I mean, the public revelation is complete. We see that Jesus, in the person of Jesus, everything is complete, but it's not been understood or interpreted. It needs to be explained. It's not the vocabulary that the church says. It says, yet even if revelation is already complete, it has not been made completely explicit. So it remains basically for the church to gradually understand and arrive to the fullness of this revelation, the public revelation that we see in the person of Jesus. So all these private revelations that our Lord Jesus gives, specifically the revelation concerning to the will of God given to Luisa Picaretta, it helps us understand the whole thing now. And that everything has been a preparation, because this is our divine inheritance to arrive to that possession. And we are so blessed because we are living in this time that is being given to us. Many of the saints, they long for this. It's exactly as our Lord Jesus tells the people in the Old Testament. Many of the prophets, they long to see what you see, and you don't recognize it. So it's The same for us. Many of the saints, they long to arrive to this understanding. And we are so blessed because we are living in this period of time that we are able to read these writings and try to study them to arrive to that possession. So when our Lord Jesus mentions that this, that many things have been written, about the divine will, but the fall of Adam and what happened after the fall, the relationship that with the creatures, says, it's only until now that we see it explained in this way. He says that this relationship that happened between Adam, innocent Adam, before sinning, he says they have written nothing. And the catechism explains very little. But compared to what really happened, is nothing. Basically, we don't know how long Adam live in this union, how long he lasted in this union, because nobody knows. You see in the catechism, the church talks a little bit, and even though that a little bit, if you stop and read and meditate with that, it's so fascinating, and it is wonderful to see what the church has arrived to the understanding that the church has arrived. But in the book of Adam, the passages concerning with the book of Adam, we can see really what our Lord explains, that this union, that he was so enchanted, that he received so much joy, that he basically entertained himself seeing the creatures multiplying this divine life, this little tiny light that he gave, how it grew in the creatures, and how it grows in us now every time that we unite ourselves. So God sees this in the soul. We are not able to see it because we live after the fall. Now, this is the period in which we live. But I suppose Adam was able to see, to feel this joy. And our Lord Jesus explains this, that he was able to receive as much as a creature was able to receive, and then experience that peace, that joy. And he was given a very specific set of rules to remain in that union. So it is only through this revelation. I don't remember all the revelations that they talk about Adam before the fall and after the fall so much as this one. I know in the writings of Maria Valtorta, the gospel, as it was given to me, that's the title, she talks a little bit about the fall. Our Lord explains a little bit about, specifically about the serpent and the life of Adam and Eve before the fall, but it's nothing compared to what we see in the book of heaven. And why is that? Is because now we have arrived to that period of in time that our Lord wants to give us this now, this gift that belongs to us. We can say by it's our divine right. And in baptism is the place where we receive this gift. Now the problem is that we don't know that is there. So now we have to learn how to operate in this gift. And since it is in baptism that we are reconciled, even though our Lord Jesus reconciled us on the cross with God the Father, it is in baptism that we receive the actualization of that grace. Now we become the indwelling place of the Blessed Trinity. That's a divine participation in which God participates, gives us the virtues that we know, the theological virtues, faith, hope, and charity. And if you go back to the Book of Heaven, I think it's the second book. He talks about faith, and he says faith is God. So we call these theological virtues because they come directly from God. They are gifts. And it's in baptism that we call God our Father for the first time when we are baptized as children. It is our parents that they act as proxies for all of us. They, on our behalf, pray that our fathers. So all this that we receive in the Book of Heaven, we have to see it in the general way too, in the faith, that everything has been a preparation. A preparation, a preparation, a preparation. And you look at the Gospels, the prodigal son. If we put it in this context, it was Adam who departed from the house of the fathers, from that union. And now the second Adam, which is actually the first Adam, comes and reconciles us with the Father so that the Father receives us back. Where? In baptism. He clothes us with that light that we lost, that garment of light. And he restores us to being sons and daughters with him. So again, that divine right is being restored. The Lord says here, on the contrary, about the relations that passed between my fiat and Adam innocent, before sinning they have written nothing. And how could they have written if no one had lived in my divine will as in one's own house? Only the Blessed Mothers, by grace. But the mission of the Blessed Mother, one can say, why the Blessed Mother, why didn't she write anything? Because that was not her mission. Her mission was to be the mother of the Redeemer. And she was given that grace for that mission. So every saint receives the grace that is needed for his or her mission. The same with Saint Joseph. Because the mission of Saint Joseph was to be the protector of the divine life in the house of Nazareth. We can say that he's the protector of the divine will in the house of Nazareth, the guardian of the divine will in the house of Nazareth. So that's why, you know, when Father Anibal, he composed the consecration to the divine will, at the end we ask Saint Joseph. It's a beautiful line that he writes there about Saint Joseph. asking Saint Joseph to be our protector, to guard that divine life in us, the divine will operating in our souls. So Saint Joseph has his place. So why I'm mentioning this? Because I'm trying to just illustrate to see how everything is being a preparation to arrive to this moment, and every saint and the Blessed Mother, each one of them, they have a specific mission. And now the Lord says also to Luisa Picaretta, now your mission, Luisa, is to be the little daughter of the divine will, so that others may come and learn from you. So when the Lord says nobody has written anything, because how can they write if no one have lived in that, in his divine will, right? How could they know its secrets and the great prodigy that the operating life of a divine will can do in the creatures? Therefore, they could and can say of my divine fiat that it disposes everything, that it commands, that it concurs. But as for saying of my divine will, how it operates within itself, in its house, the power of its immensity, that in one instant does everything and envelops everything in the creature as it does within itself. Again, the idea of God sharing his life, what the Blessed Trinity does, that divine participation, giving and receiving and producing that love, which is the Holy Spirit, is putting that now outside of himself, ad extra, so that we may become mirrors of that. So he gives to us and we may give back. In that giving, then we expand our capacity to receive. Suddenly we find ourselves with more capacity to receive. And God also to receive and to give both. Now we have the capacity to give more and more and more. This is science that the creature has ignored until now. It could not have been written if not by the manifestation of my divine fiat to she whom he was calling to live in our house as our daughter, referring to Luisa Picaretta. So we see also the mission of Luisa Picaretta here, that she is the other link that is needed. The link for us to learn how to arrive to the possession, because she is a creature like us. Even though the Blessed Mother is a creature like us, she was preserved from original sin. Luisa Picaretta was not preserved from original sin. She had to be baptized like us. That's why baptism is so important, because it begins, it initiates, it begins that divine participation God given to the creatures. And now that we are aware of this, how this operates in us, and we are trying to learn how this gift operates in us, now everybody at his, her own pace has to begin this journey back, or to continue this journey that we began in baptism. You can see that our journey begins in baptism, and now we have arrived to this possession hopefully to the possession. This is really the treasure that is hidden in the field. This is what the gospel is talking about. The divine will is the treasure, is our inheritance. This is what we lost. And now that we have found it, this gift is up to each one of us to keep walking towards the possession of this divine inheritance operating in us. It has to operate in us. Here we have to, I have to say that we have to believe what our Lord Jesus is saying. And I want to refer all of you to that volume 14, May 27, 1922, to really believe what our Lord Jesus says, because you may not feel anything. You may feel like this is foolishness, that I don't feel anything. I keep saying, come divine will. I try to unite myself to the divine will and I feel nothing. We have to believe what our Lord Jesus says, that the divine will can do everything in the creatures. You have to remember that also the reason we are not experiencing what Adam experienced is because he lived before the fall. We are living in this wounded humanity. Again, it comes to mind that gospel, the Samaritan, the Good Samaritan. We are that wounded men. So all the gospels, they point towards this gift. The examples our Lord Jesus gives, it refers sometimes to a specific situation, but in general also refers to the whole humanity. That man represents the whole humanity that is being wounded. And then he takes that man that is wounded, all of us, all the whole human race, and he places us in the inn. That inn is the church. He gives two coins to the person in charge. One that represents the sacraments and the other one that represents the word. Because we are fed through the sacraments and through the word of God. So we are that wounded man that now we have been placed in that inn. And now, through these writings, we try to understand that. So in a general way. So now our eyes should be open now. We are that, we are the 100 sheep, that number, the 100 one that was lost. And he left the 90 ones and we are that one. The whole human race is that one. He's bringing it back. So Luisa Picarreta, now we can say, she is, in a way, the new link. She is the new link, and that divine right that Adam lost is being given in a way to Luisa. So I don't want you to be scandalized, but I want you to understand it in this way. that the mission that Adam received, since he couldn't fulfill it, now is being given to Luisa Picarreta. So that by teaching Luisa this divine science, and she learning this divine science, now we come and learn from Luisa how to let the divine will operate in us. Luisa, that is a creature that she didn't receive special grace like the Blessed Mother, that she needed to be baptized, so that we don't have an excuse to say, well, the Blessed Mother, because she was preserved. So now we can say she is like the third link. This is not to make of Luisa something that she is not. Her mission is to teach us how to enter, how to let the divine will operate in our humanity by free will, by using our free will, because the divine will in the person of our Lord Jesus, it was operating by nature, in the Blessed Mother by grace. We can say in Adam also by grace naturally. But in us, it has to be by using our human will. That's why our Lord Jesus explains to Luisa Picarreta so much, be faithful, be attentive. I want you fixed in my divine will. Don't be distracted. Be aware of that. So the way to enter is by using our freedom to enter and let that divine will operate in us. So it says, so we are calling our daughter to enter into this divine union. We call our daughter to enter into our house. And this is what he's calling us to enter to. We can say that we are the children now of the divine will. He wants to amuse himself with each one of us. Remember, we are the masterpiece. But without this gift operating in us, he cannot amuse himself. That's why he's making us aware of these intimate secrets. Okay. I think we can leave it there for today and ask the Lord Jesus to really help us understand what we read in this writings concerning to Adam, to help us understand and to give us that conviction, that certainty, that even though we don't see what happens in our soul, that we are called to believe that what he tells us is the truth. And that these writings, since they are given to Luisa Picarreta, this is the word of Jesus. So we have to believe it. So let us ask our Lord Jesus that through the Holy Spirit, what we have learned today, it may grow in us, in our soul. That it may give praise and glory and honor to God our Father, that we may arrive to the possession of the divine will operating in us, so that we may fill our mission as creatures, to love, to adore, to glorify God in every single act. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit descend upon each one of us and remain with us forever. Amen. Thank you.